Chapter 2. I found Octocat at last in my bedroom, where he was crouched under my bed, his wide amber eyes glowing in the darkness. When I flopped down on my belly to get a closer look, he emitted a low growl that made me jump in my skin.
"Go away," he added in a rumbly, somewhat terrifying voice.
"That's not fair," I enunciated, as if scolding a petulant child. "Might I remind you that I was just as shocked by that as you were?" I searched my brain for the right way to spin things, the way that would make him understand. Unfortunately, all logic tended to go out the window whenever Octocat was unhappy, and today's unhappiness had already reached a record-breaking level. With great difficulty, I managed to put a happy-go-lucky smile on my face as I said, "But I mean, if you think about it, it kind of makes sense, right? We have each other, and now Nan has a best fur friend of her own, too. Isn't that nice?"
"No,"
the tabby replied stubbornly and turned his face toward the wall. I hated that he was this upset, but there was nothing I could do without him being willing to at least meet me part way. "Will you at least come out for our pet-iversary?" I begged, practically whined. Octocat turned toward me again. His eyes still held that eerie glow as he considered my request.
"I'm not coming out," he said at last. "But if you bring my shrimp and my Evian here and promise not to let that dog in, I shall consider sharing the celebratory meal with you in our private quarters. Privately."
I couldn't help but sigh. "Are you really not going to leave the room at all?" He flicked his tail, waking a cloud of dust and pet hair that rose from the carpet in a sickening flurry. Wow, I really was not a good housekeeper. If Octocat noticed the filth, he didn't seem to mind, not when he already had much bigger fish to fry.
"Not until that interloper is gone," he informed me with another hiss. "Need I remind you that this is my house?"
"No, you needn't." It felt strange using Octocat's overly refined language, but he often listened better when I did. And right now, I needed him to understand that controlling Nan was every bit as difficult as trying to control him. Both were so stubborn about the things they wanted that we would have no choice but to find some kind of compromise to the Chihuahua situation. I sighed again. "However, given your stance, it would probably be best if I brought your litter box up here as well. I'll be back in a little bit." After pushing myself back into a standing position, I left my tower bedroom, careful to latch the door fully behind me. As much as I didn't want to trap Octocat inside, I was also incredibly worried about what might happen to Paisley if she nosed her way in there. She was half his size, at most, and clearly didn't have an aggressive bone in her whole body. My cat, on the other hand, he had a whole skeleton's worth. I found Nan in the kitchen setting out a pair of dog-bone-printed ceramic bowls for Paisley in a spot just to the left of the pantry. "Sorry about Octocat," I murmured, ignoring the fact that he would be upset that the dog's bowls were so near his stash of fancy feast.
"That cat was mean,"
the Chihuahua whined as she rubbed at the fresh claw wound on her nose. "He didn't mean to hurt you. He's just difficult sometimes," I offered with what I hoped was a reassuring smile. The little dog jumped up and pawed frantically at my leg, wiggling her whole body as she cried,
"Hey, hey, hey! Did you just talk? Do you know how to talk? You're a very good, very smart girl."
I bent down and scooped her up, and Paisley immediately set to licking my face as if it were covered in gravy or bacon grease or some other irresistible treat. "Yes, I can talk to both animals and people," I explained. "I don't know why, though. It's kind of just the..."